Good morning, Patsy Opog. It's nice to have you here again to participate in the oral history conversations for St. John's Church. Thanks for being willing to be here.
Oh, you're welcome, Judy, and thank you.
I understand you have some very poignant issues to share with us, not necessarily issues, but some pointers to share with us in addition to your time a few weeks ago. So I'll let you talk about those things that you have taken initiative for at St. John's, and then toward the end, if there's anything you want to add, if I haven't asked, please feel free to converse and share.
Okay, great. I think, you know, probably one of the earlier initiatives was at the point where St. John's was doing a remodel. And I had a conversation with Jennifer Edwins because Steve Edwins was doing the big remodel. And we both had children in Open Door Nursery School, which at that time was over the Three Links Odd Fellows complex. And, you know, with these space issues coming and unfolding, that was one of the early things that just because of conversation and activity we were able to kind of bring about. So they've been here, I think, 25 years or something like that. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then let me think. More recently, in the last 15 years, I was serving on church council at the time. I've served many years, many boards and various positions. The question came up about the Christmas Dinner for All, which at the time was being done by the Moravian Church and Pastor Amy in town. Mm-hmm. And they had kind of outgrown their physical space but wanted to involve other churches. And so I raised my hand and said, I'll be happy to meet with her. And we also met with Pastor Denny from St. Dominic's to involve more of the Latina community and so on and so forth. And so from that point, we had feeder funds that we were able to start up the Christmas Dinner for All here at St. John's. We needed a larger space, and we were just initiating our St. John's Hall, which had just been built. And so that was a perfect scenario to be able to open our doors to community for a free dinner for all, and at that time, there were still all of the, you know, congregational members providing salads and desserts, and even some of the turkey breasts were purchased, you know, with special coupons at Cub, and we garnered all kinds of resources to be able to get that going. I think we served 100 people that very first year, had a loaf of bread for every participant donated from Brick Oven Bakery as a party favor kind of thing. And Bill and Shark Carlson, who are now kind of team leaders for that, were involved in the very, very first one.
What year was that, Patsy?
That would have been 2004, something like, 2004.
Okay, so 14 years
just celebrated. Yeah. And then the following year, the Moravian Church said, you know, we don't care to be involved in this right now. And so we took it over at St. John's, and eventually had a line item in the budget for it. Mm-hmm. But the second year, since we didn't have those feeder funds, I thought, how am I going to, get funds for this, and I wrote a grant to the Over and Back variety show that used to designate all of their proceeds to an organization, and we were granted that. I can't recall the amount, but that was what funded our second year.
Oh my goodness. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I'm very proud of
course,
those early beginnings, and it's very self-sustaining with the leadership and the valiant efforts of everyone involved. It's one of two free dinners that are offered on Christmas Day in town, and so it's a real joy and a pleasure to see that as an ongoing ministry.
And a real pleasure to be there to help.
Yeah.
I have noticed so many families, young children helping.
Yeah.
And I think the growth of teaching philanthropy through that means, which is fun and festive.
Exactly.
It's a gift to families and to the church and to the community.
Right. And we've been able to involve our grown children as they've come back during the holiday season, you know, either in setting the tables or serving or whatever, too.
Wonderful. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Our family does that, too.
Yeah. And then even more recently, as I became a certified yoga instructor, I just thought it would be such a generous offering to our church community or anyone in the community. Again, opening the doors to reach a broader group, to offer a free, just a free practice, yoga practice. So I was thinking of the old fellowship hall, which had these wonderful wooden slat flooring things. And I created a practice for a couple of years there. And because I was the only one doing it, I was, you know, kind of tied to that. But it was really a great service to our church and to the community, many participants of all ages, and and just a calming and centering end of the week practice.
Two wonderful words, calming and centering.
Yeah.
And in a church.
Prayerful. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, in addition to those kind of upfront and more visible kinds of things that I might have done in the past. And one of those, too, was my service on the church council and being the president of the congregation. I really did feel that a calling, kind of, if you will, to be involved at that time. And it was a good time in my life, in our family life, with grown children out of the house and kind of a changing of my personal life, too, as I was winding down toward retirement in my teaching career. But it was kind of a pivotal moment as we were coming into my being president-elect. It was our Pastor Pam's first year here, so I felt privileged to be a part of her first year of service, as well as being on the call committee for Pastor Jonathan. I think I mentioned those two things in my earlier interview. But as part of our family life, St. John's was so much of everything. So my visible, more upfront kinds of participation, I've done assisting minister work, offering the prayers and scripture readings and things like that on Sunday mornings, and early childhood ministry, which has kind of been an evolving kind of thing over the years, where I was first involved in that as someone who would be selected by a family with a new baby or somebody being baptized, and you would pledge to pray for that child between the baptism and the time that they entered formal Sunday school programming. So that was kind of a cool thing, and I've had families where as many as four family babies have been baptized, and I've been involved in that. So that's been very gratifying to see those children grow and to have prayed for them. And I didn't just quit praying at the time that they went into their Sunday school programming, but that's been kind of another gratifying part of my service. But sometimes even the behind the scenes things, Judy, that may not be visible to anyone else, but might be important to individuals or to me being in fellowship with other members of St. John's, you know, bringing meals to families with new babies or people who are infirmed or flowers from my garden or just things to make people feel better, feel part of the community of St. John's or, and even helping to clean someone's house, even when my own house wasn't quite clean. So I do have to say that not everything takes hold. You know, you try a few things, you do a few things. I have done some prayer shawls for people, and I know there's a prayer shawl ministry now. But I used to do prayer shawls either in collaboration. This is knitting. And you actually pray as you knit, either for the person that you're knitting it for, or even if you don't know who it might be for. So I've done that in combination with another friend or friends to knit those up and deliver those. Yeah.
I've never understood the explanation of prayer shawl. You pray while you're knitting.
So it's a meditative kind of involvement, and then the garment that they receive surrounds them not only in the warmth of the wool or synthetic, whichever, but also in the thoughts and prayers that have been put into them. Yeah, that all started with Sheila Wellstone's initiative for battered women.
Oh my goodness.
Or it started for me with that
with
kind
her.
Of involvement. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So sometimes I've been involved in celebrations or parting gifts too, where people have served the church and left their paid positions. I was lucky enough to have been in the St. John's Adult Singing Choir, which is now called the Chorale, under Carolyn Jennings' direction. And when she was retiring from that position, I remember creating a scrapbook for everyone's special letters and everything like that. And that had a cover of Hardanger needlepoint type of work in the shape of a cross.
Other St.
ones.
John's is in your soul.
I think so.
Yes.
It really has been a part of daily, weekly life for me, for our family, for my husband and me coming here initially.
What else would you like?
it's ongoing.
Yes.
It really, you know, whatever service or fellowship or benefits certainly that I've gotten by being a member of St. John's, participating, hearing stellar sermons, worship experiences involving music that fills my soul and overflows. You know, that's all going to be continuing, and that's what I look forward to, is this journey on earth, and, you know, and the preparation.
When you were with us before for your interview a few weeks ago, you may have been asked about the future of St. John's. Do you have more comments about that? What do you see as in the future for St. John's, or wish for or hope for the future of St. John's?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I think my comment was kind of in the vein of wanting St. John's to continue with the richness of tradition, but also being able to embrace what changes are needed to be able to continue with societal changes and things like that. We are steeped in tradition of theology and music and you know, our rootedness in the Northfield community, connection to St. Olaf College. My wish is for those things to continue and for the members of St. John's to feel that richness of tradition and to be able to be involved and to participate fully. And I think those would be my wishes for St. John's to just catapult into the future. And we're celebrating 150 years, and, you know, double that, triple that, and, you know, it'll be a legacy that we can leave for all of our children, grandchildren. Our family has been fortunate to not only have had our children go through Sunday school programming and confirmation here, but other rituals of life too. Our youngest grandchild was baptized here, and my mother's funeral here during this last year. So I think for the availability of St. John's to be a part of the birth to death experience and everything in between is a fabulous thing that really churches as a multi-generational arena or grouping can do. So
certainly opportunity everyone.
I think the future is for St. John's, and I'm hopeful for that.
Thank you so much. Anything else you'd like to add? Have we picked your brain thoroughly?
Oh, there's always more.
There's more.
Yeah, because, you know, we are living and growing.
Yes.
With every day, with every week, and
there's a draw here for you and your family and St. John's. And fulfilling.
Yeah, and it is with that that hope for growth that that keeps me wanting to be involved. And it's a two-way street of being involved and being nurtured in the faith.
Yes.
So
one more thing has come to my mind. Did you speak when you were with us before about choir? I know you talked about Carolyn Jennings, singing with Carolyn Jennings, and I know you participate occasionally now in choir, and well, is that something you'll hope to continue with?
Oh, yeah. I've always sung in church choirs, college choir, so my singing in the choir is something that I just kind of rebooted up. In the intervening time between Carolyn's choir and this last year, I've been in the bell choir at church, Rejoice Ringers. So we rehearse every week and play once a month at both services. And so that's another way I participate.
You almost forgot. Talk about bell rings.
There's a lot going on.
Yes, right. And you spoke of retiring, and how it seems like as you retired, and I'm finding that for myself, but for you, as you retired, then there were more opportunities to be involved here at St. John's, and this was one of your chosen venues, let's say, to share your talents and skills and energy.
Yeah, even a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. More. Yes, you've done it before, but even more now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Patsy, very much for coming back to share more of your history with St. John's. And we will put your words along with others as we celebrate St. John's sesquicentennial this coming year, 2019.